The Blind Californian, quarterly magazine of the California Council of the Blind, Winter 2019, Volume 63, Number 1. Published in Braille, large print, audio CD, email, bc-subscribe@ccbnet.org, and online in readable and downloadable text and audio media. Judy Wilkinson, President, 1550 Bancroft Avenue, No. 113, San Leandro, California, 94577-5264, cell phone number 510-388-5079, president@ccbnet.org for email. Executive Office, California Council of the Blind, 2143 Hurley Way, Suite 250, Sacramento, California, 95825. Phone number 916-441-2100 for voice, 916-441-2188, fax. Email ccotb@ccbnet.org. Website www.ccbnet.org. Jeff Tom, Director, Governmental Affairs Committee. Phone number 800-221-6359. Cell phone number 916-995-3967. Email governmentalaffairs@ccbnet.org. Webmaster, email webmaster@ccbnet.org. Mike Keithley, Editor, 191 East El Camino Real, No. 150, Mountain View, California, 94040. Phone number 650-386-6286. Email editor@ccbnet.org. Susan Glass, Associate Editor, 408-257-1034. Email editor@ccbnet.org. The California Connection is a weekly news service provided by phone in English and Spanish at phone number 800-221-6359 Monday through Friday after 5 p.m. and all day on weekends and holidays. By email subscription, send a blank message to connection-subscribe@ccbnet.org. Or on the web at www.ccbnet.org. Submissions for the California Connection can be emailed to ca.connection@ccbnet.org. Non-members are requested, and members are invited to pay a yearly subscription fee of $10 toward the production of The Blind Californian. In accepting material for The Blind Californian, priority will be given to articles concerning the activities and policies of the California Council of the Blind and to the experiences and concerns of blind persons. Recommended length is 1,800 words. The deadline to submit material for the spring 2019 issue of The Blind Californian is noon, February 15, 2019. Shop at Amazon, donate to CCB. Access https://smile.amazon.com/. Log on to your account and select California Council of the Blind as your charity. Please send all address changes to the Executive Office. Table of Contents. The Editor's Page, Mike Keithley, page 5. Relentless Optimism Revisited, Judy Wilkinson, page 7. Farewell, Paul Shane, page 10. The Future of the Blind Californian, Linda Porrell, page 11. BRLC, Celebrating Braille and Taking on the Braille Challenge, Frank Welty, page 16. Horseback Riding, Ultimate Mobility, Ultimate Freedom, Susan Glass, page 18. CCB Scholarship Committee Presents 2018 to 2019 Scholarship Winners by Christy Crespin, page 21. Ken Metz Memorials, page 31. Hear Your Medication Talk, Doug Rose. Hear Your Medication Talk by Doug Rose, page 41. California Council of the Blind Board Minutes Summary, August through October 2018 by Artis Bazin, page 45. CCB Officers and Directors, page 52. Table of Contents. The Editor's Page, Mike Keithley, page 5. Relentless Optimism Revisited, Judy Wilkinson, page 7. Farewell, Paul Shane, page 10. The Future of the Blind Californian, Linda Porrell, page 11. BRLC, Celebrating Braille and Taking on the Braille Challenge, Frank Welty, page 16. Horseback Riding, Ultimate Mobility, Ultimate Freedom, Susan Glass, page 18. CCB Scholarship Committee Presents 2018 to 2019 Scholarship Winners by Christy Crespin, page 21. Ken Metz Memorials, page 31. Hear Your Medication Talk, Doug Rose, Hear Your Medication Talk by Doug Rose, page 41. California Council of the Blind Board Minutes Summary, August through October 2018 by Artis Bazin, page 45. CCB Officers and Directors, page 52. Page 5, The Editor's Page by Mike Keithley. Welcome to the winter 2019 issue of The Blind Californian. Fasten your seatbelts as major changes are coming. Beginning with the spring, 2019 BC production of large print, CD, and Braille formats will be suspended to save costs. The audio option will migrate to NFB Newsline. The email format will remain available for anyone who wishes to subscribe. We also plan to have each new issue of the BC immediately available on the CCB website homepage. Back issues for the last few years are already available on our site. This decision is a hard one. It is solely based on CCB's current financial crisis. It costs on average $2,400 per quarterly issue to produce the large print, Braille, and CD formats. This means that the average yearly production cost for four issues of the BC is $9,600. What you can do? Number one, contact Linda Porrell, Publications Committee Chair, with your questions. Number two, read Linda's article on choosing a new subscription option in this issue and act accordingly. My one-time dog King says, "Gosh, Master, it's the holiday season, don't you know? Here, have some Optimist, the favorite soda in the dog park." Yes, it is the holidays, and these changes are a bummer for sure. But I believe we're at the nadir, and CCB will rise from the ashes. And we do have a great issue right here and now to entertain you. We'll have President Wilkinson's message, plus a farewell article from Paul Shane, who is leaving us very soon. Christy Crespin writes about the people chosen for the upcoming CCB scholarships that will be presented at the 2019 convention banquet. Inspiring. Want to do some horseback riding? Read Susan Glass's adventure. And the last batch of Ken Metz memorials is here. There's more. You see, I thought Optimist would help. It did, King. Thank you very much. The Publications Committee wants to extend a fond farewell to Dr. Catherine Schmidt-Whitaker, who is leaving the committee to venture into other pursuits for CCB. She has been involved with the BC for a long time, particularly her long-running column on developing careers in the workplace. Lots of luck, Kathy. Enjoy your BC. Page 7, Relentless Optimism Revisited by Judy Wilkinson. I did a lot of personal growth work in the 1980s, and one of the concepts I learned which helps me today is the notion that when there are clouds above and all seems gloomy, the sun is really still there. We just can't see or feel it. Recently, I've been deep in the clouds. When I fear I've led our membership, who elected me to lead CCB into a brighter future, down a path to ruin. When I fear I will preside over the demise of the CCB. When I get lots of hostile emails or folks commenting why they would give money to CCB since all it does is misspend it. When I think of taking on yet more responsibilities as CCB CEO, I think, well, I'm a volunteer, just like everyone else, and I'm not having any fun right now. I think of turning 75 in January with relatively few years ahead of me. Symphonies and string quartets to study, theater to attend, writing projects beckoning, friends whom I've neglected, a husband who'd like us to have more time to do things together. Because frankly, though the job isn't full-time every week, at the end of so many days, I'm just too damn tired with no energy to do anything. But the sun has begun to shine in my universe. Many Many emails from members contain kind, caring, supportive messages. Our phenomenal board stands ready to support me and the organization in any possible way. I have suggested, and the board has approved, formation of what Gabe Griffith, first vice president, brilliantly coined the Phoenix Committee to help CCB rise from the ashes. And those asked to serve have, yes, eagerly taken on the challenge. It is so heartening that individual members are ready to step forward to help. We are already implementing cost-cutting measures, moving forward with our Dining in the Dark fundraiser to be held on May 2nd. And by the time you read this, you will hopefully have received CCB's fundraising appeal letter. We are implementing the Energy Upgrade California grant to inform those who are blind, low vision, seniors, low income about better time use of their utilities that will save them money. Dwayne Poole has contracted with us for the next year to spread the word. Moving forward from the back burner, I am pursuing the folks at On the MUV, hoping to begin a CCB business selling the seated mini treadmill. Another concept that helps me still is the notion that when you're up to your ass in alligators, it's hard to remember your purpose was to drain the swamp. In other words, it's easy to get lost in the weeds and forget the larger picture. The biggest picture is, of course, our mission, to increase the independence and equality for all Californians who are blind or low vision. Though we've ended our contract with them, and it looks as if we've spent thousands of dollars for nothing, our work with DSI resulted in a wonderful case for support document that we can adapt in numerous ways to promote CCB. With their help, we have identified 4 ongoing statewide projects to further our mission. Finally, I want to take this opportunity to formally thank our former CEO, Paul Shane, for everything he has done for the CCB in the last 2 years. Paul's legacy is vast. He has moved the CCB toward becoming a modern, 21st century nonprofit organization. We have our case for support, various policies in place, our volunteer hours program, various fundraising ideas, such as our annual letter of appeal, as well as our benchmark Dining in the Dark. His last success was to gain our Energy Upgrade California grant. But almost as important, Paul didn't know a blind person when he joined us, and he has become a passionate advocate for people who are blind and low vision. We have no greater champion than Paul, and he will continue to promote the CCB as a consultant for a few days during December and January, and we will have a staunch friend far into the future. As we begin our 85th year, the theme we have adopted for our convention, Survive and Thrive at 85, should be our guiding star. Can we do it? Working together? Yes, we can. Farewell by Paul Shane. Too often, the focus of transition is loss and negativity. As I reach my transition date from the CCB, I find myself reflecting deeply about the lifelong friends that I have made here and the positive impacts that we have made on the CCB in our time together. We can be proud. A few steps we have taken together include putting vital infrastructure in place, redefining how and when to market the CCB for maximum return on investments, creating and implementing a comprehensive resource development plan, establishing a strategic direction for the CCB, building a grant resume, establishing a unique signature fundraiser, and cementing amazing deals for Convention 2019 and 2020. But it's not just what you leave behind that matters. It's also what you take with you. The most important things that I am taking away from the CCB are lifelong friendships, a better understanding of the blind and low vision population, and a fire in my belly to always stand up and advocate for you whenever and wherever the opportunity presents itself. For these things, I will always be grateful. I sincerely wish you the best of luck in all of your future endeavors and undertakings, and encourage anyone who wishes to stay in touch with me to email me at mr.paulshane@gmail.com. Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
The Future of the Blind Californian by Linda Burrell. Dear BC subscribers, as chair of the CCB Publications Committee, it's my sad duty to confirm the news you just read in Mike Keithley's editor's column. President Wilkinson, the CCB Board of Directors, and our Publications Committee members are in agreement that, for the time being, we must suspend production of the Blind Californian in Braille, on CD, and in large print. The California Council of the Blind is facing significant financial challenges at this time. The annual cost of production for four issues of The Blind Californian is just under $10,000. We remain hopeful that, after re-establishing CCB's financial stability, we can revisit our commitment to producing the BC in physical formats once again. Like many of you, we have all valued and enjoyed receiving and reading the BC in a physical format that we could hold in our hands and cuddle up with in our favorite chairs. All of us will no doubt miss our chosen formats very much indeed. However, since every dark cloud has a silver lining, I'm here to let you know that we will continue to publish The Blind Californian on a quarterly basis. So please read on to learn how you can continue to receive our beloved Blind Californian. And please do not hesitate to contact me if you have any questions or concerns. Linda Perel, 415-586-2622 or lmperel@gmail.com. Available formats. Email, you can subscribe to receive the magazine by sending a blank email to bc-subscribe@ccbnet.org. On the CCB website, ccbnet.org, each issue will be available for download on ccbnet.org in doc, txt, pdf, brf, and audio format, mp3. And our newest option, NFB Newsline. We are currently preparing to re-establish our CCB channel for California on Newsline. For those of you who may not be familiar with the service, Newsline provides access to many national and local newspapers, some magazines, and other publications of interest using synthesized speech. The content is accessed by phone, computer, iPhone, Victor Reader Trek and Next Generation, and by email. In order to connect with Newsline, you need to sign up with your regional NLS library. The library will provide you with a local access phone number as well as information on using the service. Below you will find all of the contact information for the four regional libraries in California. The librarians at each location will be happy to register you with Newsline. Regional Library. Braille and Talking Book Library. California State Library. P.O. Box 942837. Sacramento, California 94237-0001. Librarian. Mike L. Marlin. Library code, CA1A. Telephone, 916-654-0640. Toll free, in-state, 800-952-5666. Fax, 916-654-1119. Email, btbl@library.ca.gov. Website, www.btbl.ca.gov. Hours of operation, 9:30 a.m. through 4 p.m., Monday through Friday. Serves, Alameda, Alpine, Amador, Butte, Calaveras, Calusa, Contra Costa, Del Norte, El Dorado, Fresno, Glen, Humboldt, Inyo, Kings, Lake, Lassen, Marin, Madera, Mariposa, Mendocino, Merced, Modoc, Mono, Monterey, Napa Nevada, Placer, Plumas, Sacramento, San Benito, San Joaquin, San Mateo, Santa Clara, Santa Cruz, Shasta, Sierra, Siskiyou, Solano, Sonoma, Stanislaus, Sutter, Tehama, Trinity, Cula, Tuolumne, Yolo, Yuba. Braille only. Fresno, Kings, Madera, Cula, San Francisco. Regional Library. Braille Institute. Library Services. 741 North Vermont Avenue. Los Angeles, California 90029-3594. Librarian. Reed Streets. Library code. CA2A. Telephone. 323-660-3880. Toll free, in-state. 800-808-2555. Fax, 323-662-2440. Email, bils@brailleinstitute.org. Website, www.brailleinstitute.org/library. Hours of operation, 8 a.m. through 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. Serves Imperial, Kern, Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties. Subregional Library, Talking Book Library for the Blind. Fresno County Public Library, 10 Wills Community Center, 717 North San Pablo Avenue, Fresno, California 93728-3640. Librarian, Penny Hill, Library Code, CA1B. Telephone, 559-600-3217. Toll free, in-state, 800-742-1011. Email, tblb@fresnolibrary.org. Website, www.fresnolibrary.org/tblb. Hours of operation, 8 a.m. through 5, Monday through Friday. Serves Fresno, Kings, Madera, and Chula counties. Subregional Library, Talking Books and Braille Center. San Francisco Public Library, Civic Center, 100 Larkin Street, San Francisco, California 94102-0000. Librarian, Jane Glasby. Library Code, CA1C. Telephone, 415-557-4253. Email, lbpd@sfpl.org. Website, sfpl.org/index.php?pg=02000023031. Hours of operation, Monday, 10 a.m. through 6 p.m., Tuesday through Thursday, 9 a.m. through 8 p.m., Friday, 12 a.m. through 6 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. 6 p.m., Sunday, 12 a.m. through 5 p.m. Serves San Francisco.
BRLC, Celebrating Braille and Taking on the Braille Challenge, by Frank Welty. The Braille Revival League of California, or BRLC, is working to help blind and visually impaired Californians to benefit from Braille, one of the most empowering tools available to us. We want Braille to be more widely available, and we want more people to use it. We are working toward this goal in several ways. BRLC is partnering with the CCB San Francisco chapter and with the San Francisco Talking Book Library to present an annual Hooray for Braille celebration that commemorates the life of Louis Braille. This year's event will take place at the San Francisco Public Library's main branch on Saturday, February 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We will set up tables where library patrons can see various examples of Braille, Braille writing equipment, both low and high tech, and tactile graphics. The tables will be staffed by Braille users who can demonstrate Braille, answer questions, and distribute Braille alphabet cards and cards with visitor names embossed on them. We will also conduct a Braille story reading in the children's library. In conjunction with the Braille celebration, BRLC has donated Braille children's books to the San Francisco Talking Book Library, and we look forward to continuing this practice. For many years, BRLC has contributed to the National Braille Challenge, a Braille competition administered by the Braille Institute. Also, BRLC members have served as enthusiastic volunteers at the Northern California Braille Challenge, and we hope to do the same in Southern California. Braille has been around for nearly two centuries, and it is still important today. Do you want to help make Braille available to more people in more places? Do you want to learn how Braille can enhance the quality of your life? If so, we invite you to join BRLC to make California the Braille capital of America. For more information or to join BRLC, contact its treasurer, Frank Welty, at frank.a.welte@gmail.com or call 510-541-1442. Horseback Riding, Ultimate Mobility, Ultimate Freedom, by Susan Glass. On Friday, October 19th, I did something that I've yearned to do since childhood. I rode in a horse show. Growing up, I rode horses regularly between the ages of 10 and 15. My teacher, Mr. Higgins, was a kind, wise, and jolly surrogate grandfather to myself and the other 15 or so kids he taught. We learn the basics of Western riding, as well as horse safety, how to groom, feed, and tack up, which means saddling and unsaddling the horse. On trail rides, Mr. Higgins guided me by calling out right, left, steep downgrade coming, gradual upgrade, duck, low trees. Generally, my horse Bonnie followed his horse Black Boy anyhow, nose to tail. We didn't do much arena or ring work, which was fine with me, since what I loved most about riding was its sensory richness. The warm smell of Bonnie's coat, whether shaggy in winter or sleek in summer. The round clopping of her shod hooves on pavement, and their padded tones in dirt. Trail fragrances of wild oats and oak leaves and eucalyptus, and birds, meadowlarks, flickers, California quail. And there was my friendship with Mr. Higgins, his laughter, his propensity for telling tall tales, and his faith in the abilities of all children. I learned to ride horses before I learned to use a cane. Horses were my first freedom and my first understanding of myself as a person who could move confidently in the world. About a year ago, I began taking riding lessons at Garrod Farms, located in the Saratoga foothills. This time, though, I wanted to immerse myself in the athletics, art, and skill of riding. My teacher, Kathleen Reyes, was excited to work with a blind rider. Comfortable with hands-on instruction, she guided my body into the correct postures for sitting, walking, trotting, and cantering a horse. And she helped me learn how to transition smoothly from one gait to the next. She showed me how, by subtly shifting my weight from one hip to the other and turning my body in the direction I wished to go, I could ask the horse for a 15, 30, 45, 90, 180, or even 360-degree turn. What a splendid means for practicing mobility and proprioceptive sense. And did you know that when you ride a horse in this concentrated way, you move 430 parts of your body? I applied all of these skills to learning to ride in an arena and navigating my horse through barrels, poles, and cones. On October 19th, along with several other Garrod students, I rode in a playdate casual horse show. Incidentally, former SVCB chapter member Leanne Nakagawa, who had also been taking lessons at Garrod, rode in the show too. We each participated in three events. Mine were called the California Barrel, Hurry Scurry, and Keyhole. Before each of my events, an apprentice teacher, Maria, walked my horse and me through the course that we were about to ride. Then my teacher, Kathleen, stood on the arena edge, calling out instructions. Lope, left 15, neutral, right 30, neutral, left 45, haunch turn, gallop home. Kathleen's oral instructions and being permitted to pace the route out before riding it were the only adaptations that we made to blindness. Oh, and just one more. We asked the audience to be quiet so that I could more easily hear Kathleen. My horse's name was Fudge. He's a gentle bay, which means that he's brown with a black mane and tail. Our first two events were fine, but we messed up the third one by riding off pattern and getting ourselves disqualified. That happened to some sighted riders, too. It was all in good fun, and I can't wait for our next show, which will occur next June, and which will focus on equitation, or rider form. To my knowledge, Kathleen is the only instructor at Garrod who teaches riders with disabilities. West Wind Barns in Los Altos and BOK Ranch in Woodside, both in California, are two places that offer therapeutic riding lessons specifically geared for blind and disabled riders. I'm planning to visit both locations so that I can learn more about their programs. I'll keep everyone posted. CCB Scholarship Committee presents 2018 and 2019 Scholarship Winters by Christy Crespin. The CCB Scholarship Committee is proud to present the 2018-2019 Scholarship Awards to the following applicants. Larice Reese Diamond. Ms. Diamond is receiving an award in the amount of $2,000 from the CCB Fine Arts Scholarship Fund. She's a senior at San Diego State University, majoring in communications, with minors in sociology and interdisciplinary studies. She's a past scholarship recipient with both CCB and ACB and is active with the CCB Membership Committee. In her essay, she wrote, "Many sexual assault survivors live by an oppressive code of silence, a silence which I believe can be broken through participation in trauma-informed, humanities-based arts programming. My Creative Consciousness Project intends to codify an arts and humanities-based curriculum into an educative platform which assists sexual assault survivors in finding and emancipating their political voice. a three-pronged program entailing active listening, mindful reflection, and elocutionary presentation, hopes to holistically broaden social and political attitudes, cultivating a well-developed perspective. Narratives, music, theater, documentaries, art, and literary media will engage participants in multiple modes of self-expression, followed by meditation and self-healing exercises to end each day. The Creative Consciousness Project embodies my goals for the future, aspirations shaped by my past. Anthony Tony Kim. Mr. Kim is receiving a $3,000 award from Active Blind Incorporated and CCB. He is a doctoral candidate at UC Berkeley studying architecture. He wrote in his essay, "It was only about 5 years ago that my interest in lighting started. Having just entered a master's program at UC Berkeley, the first class I stepped into was a building science course on daylighting. That professor noticed something interesting about me, my sensitivity to light. Encouraged to cultivate this skill further, he suggested some books, experiments on perception, and field trips to experience different spaces. What we didn't know at the time was that this sensitivity was a byproduct of a rare ocular degenerative disease. Suffice it to say, I spent the rest of that school year looking for opportunities to further my understanding of daylight in the built environment. Though lighting projects focused on energy efficiency kept me plenty occupied, I couldn't help but notice the absence of human health-connected research. As I was interested to learn more, my advisor encouraged me to take the following year to conduct research in Sweden to explore lighting for circadian health. My time spent there was exciting. It gave me the opportunity to work with researchers at the Karolinska Institute to institute a lighting lounge that would address seasonal affective disorder, a circadian disorder that affects one-third of the country. Though the project focused on electric lighting, it furthered my appreciation for designing with daylight. I also realized that the basic research on the non-visual effect of lighting on circadian health was far from complete and had a ways to go before it could be absorbed into policy and the practice of architecture. At this point in my life, my work with lighting was well on its way to being a career when my journey with blindness began. Sylvia Blanco. Ms. Blanco is receiving a $2,000 award from Active Blind Incorporated. She's a first-year Master of Social Work student at CSU San Bernardino. Her goal is to work with and advocate for disenfranchised students. She wrote in her essay, "My professors and advisors demonstrated just how fulfilling a career in social services could be. So I decided that I wanted to be a social worker. In this career, I would have the opportunity to guide, support, assist, advocate, and most importantly, empower those individuals seeking assistance. The latter was the greatest tool my counselors and professors from community college passed on to me, because due to this, I finally had this sense of accomplishment and the control over my life that I had been missing. The next step in my academic career is obtaining a master's in social work. With this degree, I would be able to combine two of my passions, social service and education. I would like to guide students and parents with their academic needs." Moses Babafemi. Mr. Babafemi is receiving a $2,000 award from Active Blind Incorporated. He is a previous ACB scholarship winner. He's working toward his Master's of Science degree in Rehabilitation Counseling at CSU LA. He wrote in his essay, "It's been my desire since I encountered overnight blindness 18 years ago to work in a field that empowers people with diverse abilities, which is one of the reasons I chose a career goal of rehabilitation counseling, with the hope of specialization in the deaf blindness. Besides, I find it natural to advise and encourage people, and most excited when I'm able to affect my society positively and see others doing great in spite of opposition." Lizeth Liz Bonillas. Ms. Bonillas is receiving a $2,000 award from Active Blind Incorporated. She's a student working on her Associate of Arts degrees in both psychology and Spanish at Grossmont College. She plans to transfer to CSU San Diego. In her essay, she wrote, "My ultimate goal is to attend San Diego State University and become a clinical psychologist. Here I will help children without a voice and become the counselor and advocate that I so badly needed when I was a child. I sincerely hope I will be able to assist troubled kids to realize that disabilities, difficult circumstances, and corrupt people do not have to take away their dreams, that they can persevere, just as I did, to be who and what their hearts truly desire." Adrian Hermosillo. Mr. Hermosillo is receiving a $2,000 award from Active Blind Incorporated. He is a previous scholarship winner. He's a junior at CSU San Bernardino, majoring in International Business Administration with an emphasis on marketing. He wrote in his essay, 2 years ago today, if I would have written this same statement, my purpose and vision would not be as clear as it is today. All throughout my life, and especially in my high school years, I prepared to be a leader, a visionary, and a student who not only had good grades, but was well-rounded and made a significant contribution to the community. I prepared through high school for everything but becoming legally blind. If I was writing this statement 3 years ago, reality would be that I wouldn't even know where to start because I wasn't really sure where I was going. Upon graduation, my goal is to secure employment in a nonprofit or with the government in an area that I can make significant contribution to the organization. My goal is to be able to help others and or organizations that provide the opportunity for employment for disabled individuals. Antoine Wing. Mr. Wing is receiving a $2,000 award from CCB. He is studying at CSU Sacramento for his master's degree in biochemistry. In his essay, he wrote, in addition to bringing my knowledge of physics and other personal ideas to the graduate program, the reason for studying at the advanced level is to gain a deeper understanding of biochemistry and its association with human health and disease, as well as to come up with some fresh ideas and theories about some incurable, debilitating metabolic disorders. Moreover, upon completing my graduate work, I may consider going for a doctoral program in biochemistry and molecular biology so I can become a well-accomplished scientist at some research institution. Josue Lopez Hernandez. Mr. Lopez Hernandez is receiving a $1,000 award from CCB. He's a senior at CSULA, majoring in communications and minoring in Spanish. He wrote in his essay, in August 22, 2016, I was officially a Cal State LA student. 1 month before stepping foot in LA, I became a United States citizen. I have been here in Los Angeles for 1 year and a half. From February 2017 to June 2017, I worked as an assistant for the study abroad program. My task was to do research about Colombia, the nation where I studied abroad last summer. I was in the South American country for 3 weeks, which completely changed my life. In Colombia, I discovered the importance of entrepreneurship. EAN University, campus located in Colombia's capital, Bogota, taught me how important it was to be independent when it comes to creating one's own business. Then I created this new quote, if the opportunities will not come to me because of my disability, I will create those chances myself. In response, I'm taking an 8-week course about entrepreneurship here at Cal State LA. In Chocó, the poorest land in Colombia, my heart was humbled by the kindness of its people. There I realized that those who have less are the ones willing to give more. Rostam Dadian. Mr. Dadian is receiving a $1,000 award from CCB. He's a previous CCB scholarship winner. He's majoring in business administration with an emphasis on finance at CSU LA. He wrote in his essay, I want to finish my bachelor's degree and look into a graduate program to continue to study finance. My emphasis is finance, and I would like to work with people in the future to show them that their financial goals should be considered early on in life because it will highly affect their future. Also, in general, I would look into public speaking and maybe even local politics. I think it's important to let people know that whatever it is that they're going through, they are not alone, and they have the ability to do something about it. In order to reach those goals, I intend to educate myself and continue to learn. The 2019-2020 CCB scholarship application process will commence in 2019. There are special scholarship awards for government and fine arts available. If you reside in California and are a full-time student who is legally blind, please consider applying. If you have questions, you may contact the CCB Scholarship Committee members, Christy Crespin, Nellie Emerson, Linda Perel, Leslie Tom, Rob Turner, and Robert Wendt through the CCB office. Other scholarships, CCLVI 2019 Scheigert Scholarships. As we move toward the end of 2018, we draw closer to the beginning of a new Scheigert scholarship season. The 2019 application window opens January 1st and closes March 15th. The scholarships are awarded annually to low-vision students, one each to an incoming freshman, an undergraduate, and a graduate student. The award for the academic year is valued at $3,000. Recipients are expected to attend the 2019 ACB National Conference and Convention in Rochester, New York, as guests of CCLVI. Scholarships are funded by the generous support of CCLVI member Fred Scheigert. Eligibility requirements, financial details, and other relevant information are available on the CCLVI website, www.cclvi.org. Click on Scheigert Scholarship to gain access to program guidelines and reimbursement policy. 2019 ACB Scholarship Applications. The American Council of the Blind has a great opportunity for students who are legally blind to earn a scholarship, whether you are going to a technical college, an entering freshman, undergraduate, or a graduate student. Over $55,000 in scholarships are awarded to students each year. To be eligible, you need to be legally blind in both eyes, maintain a 3.0 GPA, and be involved in your school and local community. As a scholarship winner, you will experience firsthand ACB's National Conference and Convention in July, where you'll meet other students who share the same life experiences, create lasting friendships, and network with individuals who understand what you are going through and can help you with your journey. The 2019 ACB Scholarship Application is now open. Access acb.org/2019-scholarship to fill out the form. To help you prepare or to submit your application, ACB will soon be conducting a brief webinar on our scholarship program and the application process. The form must be submitted no later than February 15, 2019 at 11:59 p.m. Central Time. For more information, please contact Nancy Christine Fila at phone number 612-332-3242 or call 800-866-3242 between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We look forward to receiving your application materials. Ken Metz Memorials. Here's our last batch of Ken Metz Memorials. Sugar Lopez. Hello, CCB friends. This is dedicated to my dearest friend and his giving spirit that will never stop. My friend, A, accepts you as you are. B, believes in you. C, calls you just to say hi. D, doesn't give up on you. E, envisions the whole of you, even the unfinished parts. F, forgives your mistakes. G, gives unconditionally. H, helps you. I, invites you over. J, just be with you. K, keeps you close at heart. L, loves you for who you are. M, makes a difference in your life. N, never judges. O, offers support. P, picks you up. Q, quiets your fears. R, raises your spirits. S, says nice things about you. T, tells the truth when you need to hear it. U, understands you. V, values you when no one else does. W, walks beside you. X, explains things you don't understand. Y, yells and scolds when you won't listen in a special way. And Z, zaps you back to reality. Ken Metz, rest in peace, forever in our hearts. May your light shine down from heaven. Maley George. Ken Metz was a friend, a mentor, and someone I could depend on for answers to my questions about CCB, guide dogs, travel, diabetes, technology, employment, or just for a kind word, a laugh, or for an empathetic ear. Prior to joining CCB, I'd heard Ken's name and recognized him as a key player in the community. I first met Ken via telephone when I called him to learn more about the California State Guide Dog Board, and somehow feel as though the successful closure of that board was a journey we took together. Since that time, I had the honor of learning from and serving with Ken on several committees. Ken possessed the rare ability to recognize the goodness in everyone. His passions were many, and my heart swells when I reflect upon how our friendship grew deep. When I reflect upon how our friendship grew deeper and stronger over time. Ken, I will miss your sense of humor, your insight, your infectious laugh, and your wonderful warm hugs. Rest in peace, my dear, dear friend. Ed and Christy Crespin. I don't remember CCB without Ken. I may have known him from the Foundation for the Junior Blind. I was his vocational rehabilitation counselor. He became a vocational rehabilitation counselor, and I remember sharing and consulting with him. He became a director at the Davidson Program for Independence at the Foundation for the Junior Blind of America, now Wayfinders. He came with his guide dog and visited us at Guide Dogs of America when I was in class. He had received a dog from Guide Dogs for the Blind and wanted to show us the new and different offset harness. We worked on projects together, the latest being the Southern California Canes Across California, which Ken spearheaded and was very successful. We talked about problems with Kaiser Permanente and Weight Watchers. We used our Amazon Echo to talk with each other, and that was really fun. Finally, I had the great honor of nominating Ken for second vice president at the CCB conference and convention in March 2018. Ken, Pam, Ed, and I spent a lot of time together during that convention, and I was honored to speak on his behalf and proud of him for getting elected. I knew CCB would be in good hands with him in office. Ken wanted to start a California Diabetics in Action chapter, and having been recently diagnosed with prediabetes, I told him I'd be right there helping out. Ken has been a positive influence in the blindness community nationwide, and his loving and giving heart was larger than life. That is why our love for him and memories of him will live on in the blindness movement and beyond. Ken, may your soul rest in the loving arms of God's grace, mercy, and peace. Robert Acosta, I have lost my best friend, but his memory will live forever. On May 9th, my dear friend Ken Metz was called to heaven. He fought a vigorous battle to live, but the odds were against him. I met Ken in the late 60s at a convention and found him to be an enthusiastic, hardworking person on behalf of blind persons. In 1985, we received our guide dogs together at Guide Dogs of America and truly became best friends. Over the years, Ken became a great advocate for the blind. He was always ready to help. When I urged him to slow down, he would state that a particular problem must be solved and there was work to do. On January 27th of this year, he put together a Southern California meeting, and our guest was our state president. Ken and the presidents in the area put together an outstanding program. Ken, my dear friend, you will be missed, but the memories of your great achievements and friendship will live forever. I conclude by offering our love and prayers to his wife, Pam, who was so courageous throughout those hard times. Sarah Harris. Ken Metz was and always will be a CCB rock star. At our last convention, I had the pleasure of running against Ken for the position of second vice president. No surprise, Ken won. The next morning, I ran into Ken and Pam before the board meeting and had a great conversation with both of them. Ken told me that he looked forward to working with me on the board and that he wanted to mentor me. I am saddened that I will not have the opportunity to be one of the many that have had the mentorship of Ken. Ken, I want you to know that I will try to channel you from the other side as I continue on my own CCB journey. Joel Isaacs. I met Ken Metz as a first-timer at the 2006 CCB convention in Los Angeles. I knew the banquet guest speaker, and he got me in touch with Ken to help get a ticket for the event. I was very new to blindness, and the whole convention was a discovery. I met Ken and Pam at their hotel room and was introduced to their crazy guide dogs. This was probably the second time I'd been near a guide dog and was surprised to learn that guide dogs have personalities. Pam and Ken were so gracious and invited me to sit with them at their table, which Ken kept entertained by telling jokes and leading the table in singing harmonies. Meeting Ken, Pam, and others during that first convention got me excited and made me interested in coming back again. At subsequent conventions, I was able to have some interesting conversations with Ken and help him test the broadcast quality of the internet stream over ACB radio. Over the years, I learned more about Ken's love of cooking, fierce advocacy for the rights of guide dogs and their handlers, and the love of a good time. When I was still wondering, what is this blind thing anyway, Ken was one of those strong characters who helped me understand. Blindness wasn't just drama and frustration, but there's a lot of fun to be had. A couple of years ago, after being disconnected from CCB, I moved to Contra Costa, learned of the CCB chapter there, and joined. At my first meeting, I came out with the same feelings I had at that first convention. Later, I found out Ken had started this chapter a number of years ago. Though he had been out of the area for nearly a decade, the chapter still had that welcoming quality. Our whole chapter is distraught at Ken's passing. He will be missed. Ken's greatest gifts were his warmth and supportive nature. These are his legacy, which he had passed to us, and we intend to pass to the next generation. Jordan Mirander. I don't know how we are going to replace Ken Metz, because he definitely did leave a hole in our organization. He did so much for me. I was on my way from the 2016 California Council of the Blind convention at Viejas Casino Resort and Spa in San Diego, and Ken Metz's group from the Greater Los Angeles chapter, and thank God we did, because who knows where I would have ended up had it not been for them. Santa Barbara? San Luis Obispo? I say that because I fell asleep on the bus ride from downtown San Diego to Irvine. Ken Metz woke me up. Ken Metz was very consistent when it came to our organization. He was responsible and reliable, and he did so much for us. Last year, he planned and orchestrated the trip to downtown Disney. I was not able to attend because the day it happened was a Sunday, and I am a very active member in my church. Not only that, Ken Metz also planned and orchestrated the Southern California Regional Meeting, which I was not able to attend because of a family celebration. Not only this, but Ken Metz was a personal mentor and friend. I would see him at all of the functions, like the one coming up on June 9th for the East Los Angeles chapter. We first met for the Davidson Program for Independence, and he taught peer support. He was a very lively and energetic individual whom I was proud to have known. He was the Southern California leader for the California Council of the Blind. In the weeks leading up to the convention for the California Council of the Blind, he took phone calls for the Southern California region. Rest in peace, my good friend. Susan Glass. I first met Ken Metz on the telephone when I was writing a profile about the Greater Los Angeles chapter of the Blind Californian. The Greater Los Angeles chapter is known for its pay it forward community service ethic, and this ethic was and always will be Ken's legacy. He told me how his chapter members participated in the Spark of Love toy drive, sponsored one Christmas by the local Channel 7 ABC network. Chapter members not only gathered toys, but rose at 4:30 a.m. one morning to help deliver the toys to kids. 9 days later, they visited a local nursing home to sing Christmas carols with residents. I remember Ken's voice twinkling, as it always does, on the verge of laughter, telling me that not only does it feel great to perform these acts of kindness, but it also makes it easier for the chapter to educate the surrounding community about the needs of blind and visually impaired people. I listened, fascinated and charmed. I couldn't wait to meet this humble yet charismatic person at the next CCB convention. And meet him I did as we worked together in the State Guide Dog Affiliate. I will always remember Ken's gentle humor, attentive listening, and consensus-building spirit. We miss you, Ken. Paul Shane. A good CEO should always have an extra tie. These were some of the last words spoken to me by Ken. Funny what you remember. Ken, Pam, Rangina, and I were having lunch together at Mint's Euro-Asian restaurant just after they got off the train to Sacramento for the convention. And in his haste to get to Sacramento, Ken had forgotten to pack a tie, and he needed one for Capital Day the next day. Fortunately, I did in fact have an extra tie and gave it to him. Unfortunately, he got soaked to the bone in a rainstorm on the way to Light Rail and did not make it to Capital Day after all. I did not know him well. In fact, I only had the pleasure of meeting Ken face-to-face on two occasions, both CCB conventions. I found him to be outgoing, accepting, gregarious, and downright hilarious. He was the guy that I would call for a resource in Southern California when someone called CCB's 800 number in a crisis, and I didn't know where to send them. He was always there with a smile in his voice and a willingness to help. The more bizarre and challenging the situation, the more motivated Ken was to help those in need. Unofficially, he was a mentor, friend, and confidant. Religion and spirituality aside, I believe that our lives are a sacred journey and that it is truly a gift when someone shares their journey with you, even if for a short time. I was one of many that he invited along for the ride, and I will be forever grateful for the experience. Rest in peace, my friend. You will be missed. Hear Your Medication Talk by Doug Rose, Secretary, Humboldt Council of the Blind. Nearly 21 million Americans, many 65 and older, have low vision or are blind. For us, inability to clearly read a prescription label can result in unnecessary injury or even death. Accessible prescription labels resolve this dangerous dilemma. Some of you have been advocating for your pharmacy to provide this service. In Nevada, the Nevada Council of the Blind got Senate Bill 131 passed. SB 131 is a prescription reader bill requiring Nevada retail pharmacies to provide accessible prescription labeling upon request. More information can be found on the Nevada Legislature site at www.lag.state.nv.us. And the language of SB 131 can be found at www.leg.state.nv.us. Accessible labels include talking labels, large print labels, and braille labels. An accessible label increases the chance that we're taking the correct pills and the right dosage. It also helps us know when and how to refill our prescription and enables us to safely and independently manage our healthcare needs. In the past, we used large print labels or rubber bands and felt the shape of the pill or relied on sighted assistance to identify the right drug. These are stopgap measures at best. At the recent CCB convention, a resolution was passed to ask the legislature for a law requiring pharmacies to provide this service. Why is a law necessary? Accessible prescription labels are available across the U.S. and Canada, but not every pharmacy participates in offering these options. Adoption of this technology is driven by demand from the consumer. If you need this service, ask your pharmacist for these labels. There's no extra charge for an accessible label. Our Council of the Blind advocated that one of our local independent pharmacies start using accessible labels. We chose this pharmacy because they provide free delivery. Also, they are able to make the talking labels locally. Some of the chain stores, such as CVS, offer talking prescription labels, but through mail order only. The orders are shipped to Maryland, where they record the label. This means your prescription could take up to a week to be filled, whereas our independent store can provide same-day talking labels. The system we advocated for is from Envision America, called Scriptability. We chose to ask for this system because the pharmacy can be equipped to provide all three label options: talking, large print, and braille labels. The ScriptTalk talking label consists of an RFID tag placed on the bottom of your medication bottle by the pharmacist. You're loaned a prescription reader device where you place the bottle so you can hear the label read aloud. There are also mobile apps that work with ScriptTalk RFID labels that turn your phone into a talking prescription reader. So no longer do we need to fret about what medication we're about to swallow. Accessible labels also give you access to the patient information sheets that come with most medications. More of us need healthcare services, so it will be a continuing effort to ensure that all of us have access to the various components of the healthcare system. Medication labels are only one component. For example, many healthcare providers handle patient care through online portals. This works well for those using an accessible device, but what about those who don't? This is only one instance of the current and changing healthcare system. Surely many of your readers can cite a variety of other inaccessible healthcare situations. Contact me if you want to discuss accessible prescription advocacy in your neighborhood. Call me at 707-839-0588 or email DougDRose@suddenlink.net. If you would like more information about advocating for accessible prescription labels, go to www.envisionamerica.com/advocacy. You can also contact June Robbins at envisionamerica@jrobbins@envisionamerica.com. Or call 800-890-1180, extension 123. California Council of the Blind Board Minutes Summary, August through October 2018, by Artis Bazin, CCB Secretary. Board Minutes, August 9th, adopted September 9th. President Judy Wilkinson called the meeting to order. After roll call, no board members were absent and 17 participants were on the call. Motions passed to accept the June and July minutes. Treasurer Lisa Presley Thomas gave a report on the status of the changeover of the Treasury and the bank accounts. Jeff Tom gave an update for next year's convention during the week of June 6th to 9th. The room rate was $135, including tax. Transportation is easy for most folks. Meal rates will be less. In 2020, we're trying to get the convention in April, and the rate will be $145. The donor introduction invitation letter will be sent shortly after the Labor Day weekend. The luncheon will be November 6th, and a document showing our milestones will be shown. Jeff introduced the new co-chairs for the Governmental Affairs Committee, Alice Turner and Artis Bazin. A new CCB advocate to work in Sacramento will be announced in September. A Bay Area regional meeting will be held on September 29th at the San Francisco Lighthouse. Gabe sent out a revised policy on the CCB logo. Vivian Younger explained that the membership committee will be contacting chapters and affiliates for the proper person for on the membership list. Bonnie Rennie asked for the four goal topics and their short descriptions. The board meeting was adjourned at 7:47 p.m. The executive session immediately followed. Personnel matters were discussed. A motion passed for trips to Fresno be approved on a trip-by-trip basis. The executive session adjourned at 9:23 p.m. Executive session minutes, September 9th, approved October 11th. President Judy Wilkinson opened the meeting. Artists called the roll, and Charlene Ornelas was absent. Louis Fawcett talked about the process for the next few months. He also sent us the budget for the ongoing Major Gifts campaign. He answered questions about the process of getting donations. A motion passed to extend Paul Shane's current contract as CEO on a month-to-month basis. The executive session adjourned at 9:20. Board minutes, September 13th, approve October 11th. President Judy Wilkinson opened the call shortly after 7. After the roll, Charlene Ornelas was the only one absent. Approximately 16 guests were present. A motion passed to approve the August 9th minutes as sent. A motion passed to approve the September 9th corrected executive session minutes as sent. Lisa Presley Thomas reported the amount of unrestricted funds in the Treasury as $158,146.24. A motion passed to accept the Treasurer's report as read. Judy stated Paul's contract ends September 19th. His contract is now continuing on a month-to-month basis. Invitations for the Friend Building Luncheon were sent over to 2,200 persons. The case for support paper will be printed with the agenda for the luncheon. Copies of the case for support document will be sent to members. Judy read the proposed budget for the ramp-up program, including proposed receipts and expenses. A motion passed saying that no overtime pay is allowed, except when there is written approval from Judy. A motion passed to approve the latest logo policy as sent. A new policy was implemented where approved. Minutes will be sent to the office, email lists, and webmaster. For now, this year's minutes should be sent to the webmaster. Judy mentioned that everyone should write letters or call about the AB 1013, the Accessible Absentee Ballot Bill, as soon as possible. Also, please contact your representatives and senators about the Amerikesh Treaty. Peter is getting married this weekend. Paul, Gabe, and Capital Chapter members participated in the Energy Upgrade California. A grant will go to an organization from the Public Utilities Commission. Rich told of issues with the setup for the program for the Energy Upgrade. After the roll for the executive session, Charlene and Karen Schrouder were absent. Personnel matters were discussed. The meeting adjourned at 9:36 p.m. Board minutes, October 11th, approved November 8th. President Judy Wilkinson opened the meeting shortly after 7 p.m. Secretary Artis Bezin noted the following board members were absent: Charlene Ornelas, Jeff Tom, Paul Pache Jr., Karen Schrouder, and Rob Turner. 24 guests were present. A motion passed to accept the September 13th CCB minutes. Paul Shane requested termination in 60 days. The board accepted Paul's 60-day termination request. Arguments on both sides will be signed. In Paul's remaining time, he'll work on the ramp-up program, budget for 2019, etc. After his departure, Judy will manage duties as CEO president as CCB managed previously. CCB will try having volunteers answering calls. Nicole will stay on. Rich asked about access to office for November 6th. Christy Crespin asked about a call routing system so volunteers can handle calls. A request for volunteers will go to the list. They may be in office as well. Judy gave the Major Gifts ramp-up update. 2,300 letters were sent asking potential CCB friends and donors to email or call to sign up for the luncheon. 1,100 self-mailers will be sent this week for responses by mail, calls, or emails. Only a dozen or so have signed up thus far. Research gave us a list of donors' income level. CCB members on the call made comments of concern. It was mentioned that letters should be sent to all members for donations, not just those listed as having a large amount of assets. CCB received an Energy Upgrade California grant from November 2018 to November 2019 to contact people in hotter parts of the state about energy use. The grant will cover some of our office costs, utilities, and etc. We need to reach 12,000 people in California, and 6,000 need to be reached during the first 6 months. CCB is starting the interviewing soon for the coordinator position. A motion passed to accept the treasurer's report. Judy mentioned the past convention budget costs. The upcoming convention budget will be around $50,000. The convention committee will be looking at ways to get sponsors and lessen expenses. Judy received comments from several CCB members who were not receiving their Medi-Cal announcements in accessible format. AB 1013 passed, requiring counties to have accessible absentee ballots. Artis answered questions about the new accessible vote-by-mail process. Linda mentioned taking advantage of it. The meeting adjourned at 8:27 p.m. Executive Session Board Meeting October 25th, approved November 8th. President Wilkinson called the meeting to order and called the roll. Two members were absent. Pam Metz and Artis Bazin joined midway through. A motion passed to cancel our contract with Development Systems Incorporated. A motion passed to cancel the Believe and Achieve luncheon for November. A motion passed to move forward with our annual appeal letter sent to our mailing lists using email when possible. It was suggested to have the email letter include a link to the button to pay online. We should use Giving Tuesday and online crowdfunding. Another strategy for raising money is subletting room in the office. A motion passed to move forward with Dining in the Dark for 2019. Judy discussed formation of the Phoenix Committee to discuss how CCB can move forward. This committee of board and CCB members could look for future fundraising strategies. Jeff Tom, Rob Turner, Gabe Griffith, and Lisa Presley Thomas will serve on this committee as board members. Other CCB members will be asked to complete the proposed 8-person committee, with Judy being an ex-official member. The mini treadmill project will possibly start in the first quarter of next year. We need a committee for planning this business opportunity, possibly contacting SCORE. The EUC grant contract was discussed. A new person has been hired and soon stipend volunteers will be sought. The meeting concluded at 9 p.m. California Council of the Blind Officers and Directors, July 1, 2018. Editor's note, we are indebted to Donna Sanchez, who updates and corrects the list of officers and directors, including the number of the term each is presently serving, the year elected to that term, and the year next up for election. Terms begin on July 1 following election. The presence of an asterisk means that the individual served a partial term before the first full term. Officers, President Judy Wilkinson, 18 to 20, second term, San Leandro, phone number 510-388-5079, email judy.wilkinson@ccbnet.org. First Vice President Gabe Griffith, 18 to 20, first term, Concord, email gabe.griffith@ccbnet.org. Second Vice President, this position will remain vacant until the next election in 2019. Secretary Artis Bazin, 17 to 19, second term, Burbank, Artis, email artis.bazin@ccbnet.org. Treasurer Lisa Presley Thomas, 18 to 20, first term, Fresno, email lisa.thomas@ccbnet.org. Immediate past president, Jeff Tom, 16 through current, Sacramento, email jeff.thom@ccbnet.org. Sarah Harris, 17 to 19, first term, Fresno, email sarah.harris@ccbnet.org. Pamela Metz, 17 to 19, second term, Chatsworth, email pamela.metz@ccbnet.org. Charlene Orneas, 18 to 20, second term, Oceanside, charlene.orneas@ccbnet.org. Paul Patchy Jr., 18 to 20, third term, Sacramento, email paul.patche@ccbnet.org. Linda Porrell, 17 to 19, first term, San Francisco, linda.porelle@ccbnet.org. Karen Schrouder, 17 to 19, first term, Sacramento, email karen.schrauder@ccbnet.org. Rob Turner, 18 to 20, second term, Sunnyvale, email rob.turner@ccbnet.org. Frank Welty, 18 to 20, first term, San Leandro, frank.welte@ccbnet.org. Vivian Younger, asterisk, 17 to 19, first term, Downey, vivian.younger@ccbnet.org. The Publications Committee, Linda Porrell, Chair, San Francisco, California, 94112. Email linda.porelle@ccbnet.org. Mike Keithley, Editor, and Susan Glass, Associate Editor, editor@ccbnet.org. Sarah Harris, Roger Peterson, Bonnie Rennie, Donna Sanchez. If you are a friend... If you or a friend would like to remember the California Council of the Blind in your will, you can do so by employing the following language. I give, devise, and bequeath unto the California Council of the Blind, a nonprofit charitable organization in California, the sum of X dollars to be used for its worthy purpose on behalf of blind persons. If your wishes are more complex, you may have your attorney communicate with the executive office for other suggested forms. Thank you. And thank you for listening from the California Council of the Blind.